It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Are we seeing a new level of commitment from one of the Broncos' mainstays? And I am talking about Emmanuel Sanders, who revealed something in the article from Nikki Jabala of The Athletic that Emmanuel does not plan on going home to Houston this offseason, which has been traditionally, I believe, every single offseason that he's been a Bronco. And please, if that's not the case, someone let me know. But I believe that the history of Emmanuel is he goes home in the offseason, at least for a large portion of the offseason. Not the case this offseason, Stoke. He said he's staying in Denver. Quote, "I figure I'd have a laser-sharp focus," he said on Saturday. Quote, "I go back to Houston, and it's a lot of chaos. I have to move my clothes, move my cars."
That's the best one. "I have to move my cars." Just rent a car. Leave your cars here. You can just rent a car. You don't have to move. I'm plural. Right. How many? Six of them? Like for a month? I mean, come on. I love it, though. That's good stuff.
That is Emmanuel. He said, "I go back
to
Houston."
It's a big headache when you have that many cars. You got to move cars.
Right. Right. "It's a lot of chaos. I have to move my clothes, move my cars. It's a lot of unnecessary things that I'm just trying to get out of the way and focus on the season."
Love it. I love it, man. It is, because when you're a guy like that and you go back home, you go back to your hometown or wherever, you know what it is. It's chaos. People are pulling at you from all different directions. You got this going on. You got that going on. You want to see this person. This person wants to have lunch with you. And next thing you know, you're having a hard time focusing on the season and doing what you need to do to get ready for training camp. All that stuff goes to the back burner because you're getting pulled from all different directions, and it just wears you out. Just wears you out. And so if you can stay here, remove all of those distractions, and just worry about, you know what, staying in shape, doing the things to get yourself ready for training camp. I mean, that goes a long way. But I can see exactly what he's talking about, except for moving cars.
Right. Is this I want to make sure I ask this the right way. Because really, actually, before I ask the question, I want to establish I really don't care. Okay, that's the ultimate answer before I ask the question. Why now? Are we seeing this new level of commitment from Emmanuel because he's feeling his professional future in jeopardy?
Good question.
Are we feeling it because this is the last year of guaranteed contract? Are we seeing this because they go into the draft and grab Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton?
You know what? I mean, that could play a small part in it, obviously. And I think it probably does to a certain degree. But I also think maturity comes in play here, too. When you realize that, man, when I go back home, I come back here and I'm worn out from all these distractions and the chaos involved and, you know, shipping this stuff here and worry about all these different things. I get back here and just kind of, what did I do for the last month? So I think you live and you learn, and the older you get, you learn from your lessons, and you look back and you say, man, that just drains me, that going back home for the month or whatever it is. And so I think it has more to do with that than it has to do with those other things. I think the other things probably play a part in it, and you look at, especially, I don't know about drafting of the young guys, but I think more so of his situation with his contract. You look at him, he's going to be 32. Going into 2019, you look at his salary, no more guaranteed money.
Right.
You look at a base salary of $10 million, which is a big number for a 32-year-old. So you look at his situation, a $12 million cap hit if he's on the team. You look at his situation, and I think he realizes, you know what, I need to have a great year here this year.
And it's best for me to have a great year to stay in Denver.
Or not even in Denver. But if it's not in Denver, you know what? Because of the numbers, you do the numbers, it's going to be hard for him to stay here for somebody else. I need to prove to those other 31 teams that I can still play. Don't worry about this age. I still deserve, you know, another 3-year, $24 million contract with 15 guaranteed or something like that. So he's got a lot riding on this season. And if it's not here in Denver, which I personally don't think it's going to be, you want to audition for all these other teams and continue your career somewhere else. And that's just the nature of this situation and his situation. So I think you throw all those things together, and that's why he's here.
Yeah.
And I like that he's here. And I like that he's able to get together with Case Keenum.
Right, because that's the other layer here. Like, that's the other layer. That when you stay here, yes, you don't have the distractions of Houston. You may not have to, you know, move all those cars and move your clothes. Maybe you're not dealing with the distraction of, you know, hometown boys or hometown girls.
A little bit of both,
right?
You know, right. Your buddies want you to go out at night, and it just you're burning both ends,
right? Exactly,
and it just wears you out.
So there's that component, and there's also the component of staying in altitude, not having to get reacclimated, things like that. But it's working with the quarterback you're going to work with this year. That to me, and that's why I started this thing saying, I really don't care what the incentive for Emmanuel to be here is. I don't care if Deshaun Hamilton has lit a fire under him and he feels threatened. I don't care if he's trying to balance his books and realizes there's no more guaranteed money after this year. I don't care.
Yep.
Just be the best version of yourself. Find a way to be the best version of yourself.
I agree. 100%. You're exactly right. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. I think a bunch of all of these things put together is why he's here, which it is a good thing. You know, during this time of year, early in my career, you know, I go back to Louisiana for a little bit, then maybe go see my wife's family in California, and you're just kind of always on the go. Where am I going to work out? What am I going to do? It's just draining. You get back to your hometown right before a couple of days before camp, and you're like, oh,
I need another vacation.
Right? No,
I need to wake up. Right?
Training camp starting here, so. It's I like that approach. It was so much better when I was living here and we just stayed here. And I could just head over to the Broncos facility and get a nice workout in for a couple hours, do my conditioning, and then you're done. Then you come back home and relax for a little bit and enjoy your family and not feel like you're running all over the place having to see people and do different things. And it was just so much nicer to have it that way. And you have your gym right here. You have your weight coaches right here. You have guys you can condition in with, or you have other players that are sticking around and you can go out there and work out with. It's just, it's a great thing to stay in your NFL city. And that's a great thing about Denver. It's a great place to live. So guys should want to stay around here until training camp.
Did you purposefully make that change later in your career? That look, hey, I'm not doing all this this offseason. This offseason we're going to simplify. Was that a conscious decision you made?
I'd like to say yes, but I think it just happened because of family situation.
Okay.
Because kids get a little bit older, they're involved in different things, so then it becomes more difficult to go away for a month. So that's more of the reason why I did it. But once I did it, I realized, man, it's a nice thing to be in your city for the last month or whatever before training camp. And I believe whenever I did it, we didn't even have a month. It wasn't that long. You know, now with the new CBA, they give you more time off. So you got more time now, and to be able to do it here and have all the resources available for you and not feel like you're getting pulled from family members and friends, I think is going to give Emmanuel the best opportunity to go out there and see the manual that we're used to seeing.
Shout out to Josh. On the RamosLaw.com text line, new listener, love the show, learn something new every day. Thank you. Appreciate you, Josh, and everyone for rocking with us between noon to 3 here every single day. Stoke, fun question here. Don't jump to conclusions. Who's better, Jokic's Nuggets or LeBron's Lakers? Let's dive into that when we come back. Simple question, Stoke. Who's better, Jokic's Nuggets or LeBron's? We have LeBron's Nuggets on our sheet. LeBron's Lakers. Lakers, here's what you're looking at from where we stand now. LeBron James, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, JaVale McGee, Lance Stevenson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Luol Deng. Jokic's Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., let's pretend he's healthy, Kenneth Faried, Wilson Chandler, Trey Lyles.
Okay, stop.
Wancho.
Stop.
Beasley.
No.
Arthur.
Stop, please.
Tyler Lydon.
Oh. I was about to say the Nuggets. It's LeBron's Lakers. No, it's LeBron's Lakers.
Is it?
Yeah, they're better. I mean, come on. They got LeBron James. You got the best player in the planet, on the planet. Maybe the best player ever to play basketball.
Potentially, yeah.
And you have him on your team. Okay? This guy's a finisher. The Nuggets, who's their finisher, Zach?
The walking bucket, Will Barton.
He's not their finisher.
He said, hey, you need $54 million? Take that $54
million. Here you go. They don't have a finisher, Zach. And maybe it can be Gary Harris. Maybe it can be Murray. Maybe it's Jokic. Yeah. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
In the NBA, you need a finisher. Last 2 minutes of the game, who are you giving the ball to? Who's taking over the game? Who does that for the Nuggets? They don't have one. And in L.A., they got the best in the business, and they got LeBron James. And then they got some other nice pieces around him. Ingram's going to be better this year. Going into his second year now?
Going into his third year.
Third year.
Yep.
And you look at the pieces there in L.A. around LeBron. Ball. Lonzo's going to be a lot better player going into his second year. He'll be more consistent. Randall and company. They got some good pieces around him, and they probably haven't stopped adding there. And hopefully you look at the Nuggets, and hopefully maybe one day it could be Michael Porter Jr. But right now, I can't count on that going into this year. So you got to say the Lakers are the better team right now. But I still think the Nuggets will make the playoffs this year.
Oh, yeah.
They are a playoff team. They will make the
playoffs.
Well,
you called it. You said it was a fact.
It is a fact. That's right. I did call it. I did tweet that. Because I don't think, you know, the addition of LeBron James to L.A. will all of a sudden make the Nuggets not a playoff team.
Right.
This is a playoff team.
I agree.
Fifth or sixth seed playoff team next year.
I actually don't even disagree with that. I really don't. I really do not. And I think you're going to see a couple different teams take a step back. You're going to see the Nuggets take a big step forward.
Yep.
The Nuggets, and I've said this stat repeatedly, but it bears another mention, that the Nuggets are only the 10th team in league history to win 46 games and miss the playoffs. I mean, if the Nuggets were, just imagine, in the East, they would have been a sixth seed. They would have been a sixth seed, I believe, last year had they won 46 games. And that's with Paul Millsap only playing in 38 contests. You're a $30 million man. So you inject him into the mix, and your young core takes a step forward as just a player, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic.
Lydon.
I'll keep an eye on Lydon. I'll let you know. How about that? I'll let you know. But yeah, I mean, I think the Nuggets can win 50 games this year. And if you win 50 games, that's just four more. Now, they won four more from 16-17 season to 17-18 season. If they take that same step forward, they'll be a third or fourth seed.
What do you expect from Porter Jr. this year?
Not much, unfortunately. I'm just lowering my expectations all the way down. Although I did see on social media he was shooting jumpers here in Denver earlier today.
Well, I hope he's healthy enough to be able to shoot jumpers right now.
Well,
because if he's not healthy enough to shoot jumpers right now, then yeah. Ooh.
Here's how I view this to the original question, LeBron's Lakers or the Nuggets here. I see a scale on each side. You got the Nuggets and you got the Lakers. If you were to add one piece at a time, almost like an apple or an orange, you were to say, okay, Lonzo's over here, Jamal Murray's over here, Gary Harris over here, you know, Brandon Ingram over here. The scale will kind of teeter-totter a little bit, and then you're putting fruit on, and then you take a 45-pound plate.
Right.
And throw it on there.
Yeah.
That's what LeBron James does to this equation. But if you were to take LeBron out of the mix and Jokic out of the mix, my gut says the Nuggets actually have a better young core if you were to take out LeBron.
Yes, I agree with you. Future's bright here in Denver, especially if Michael Porter Jr. gets healthy and can stay healthy. And then, guess what? You're getting rid of a lot of dead weight after next year. And maybe halfway through the year. Because those aspiring contracts are will be a positive.
Right.
When teams are looking at situations trying to shed cap room. So, you know, when you look at Fareed, you look at Chandler and Darrell Arthur, you know, you'll be free of those. And then Millsap, you own that option for the following year. So if he doesn't play up to par, you'll be able to shed him too.
That's right.
So you have a lot of cap room with a very good nucleus that, is, I tell you, will be very attractive to some big-time free agents hitting the market. Maybe not top-tier guys, but some good ones that you could, that you'll have the money to be able to pay.
And someone will want to come be a part of that, especially the way that they play. They get up and down. You can come here. You can score. Yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun to watch here moving forward. You're a slam dunk to be there when the Lakers come in town? Down at the can this winter?
Where?
The can.
Oh, I don't know about slam dunk. Not a slam dunk. Sorry.
I will.
Anything downtown.
You are such a geezer. You don't want to drive downtown.
Besides the Broncos game, it's not a slam dunk. I mean, what night are they playing on? What do I have going on? Would I like to go? Yes, I would like to go for sure. But it's not a slam dunk.
I don't care if I have to leave my infant home alone. I will be there.
Ashley! Help! Well, my man Cam does owe you some babysitting, so might be a little bit early to leave him with an infant baby. But, you know, hey, it's better than leaving the kid alone, okay?
He's in the pack and play. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine for a few hours. Right. What could he do? Just not going to be able to climb out of there. What Isaiah Thomas... Is he still with the Lakers?
He is a free agent.
Oh, he is a free agent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a free agent.
Okay. Because we had a RamosLaw.com texter talking about him being with the Lakers.
The RamosLaw.com texters are not always right.
Nope. That's why I asked.
Yep. Nope, he is not.
Sorry, David. Wrong info then. At least he put his name on it. Right. So I can call him out.
Smear him.
Yeah.
Come on, David. Do a Google search.
David from the 303.
Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hype next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Zach, I'm fired up about Emmanuel Sanders and hearing his approach to what he's doing this time of year. The gap between minicamp and training camp. Where is he spending his time? He said he's learned his lesson. Going back to Houston, having to ship all his clothes and his cars and being down there, it gets chaotic and you're getting pulled from every different direction. It's not best for him. And it's not best to how you want to go into training camp. You want to go into it fresh. You want to go to it in shape. And spending your time here and be able to have some days where you and Case Keenum go out there and throw the ball, you're going to see the best version of Emmanuel Sanders. And I don't care if it's because of his contract situation. I don't care if it's because of, you know, competition, but because of the young guys that they drafted this year. It doesn't matter to me. You're going to get the best version of Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's matured. I think he sees what's going to make him the best this year. And that's staying around for this month. Get some work in, taking a deep breath and getting ready for the football season. I think we're going to see a great, great year from Emmanuel Sanders this year. And Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
Yeah, and of course, I'm reacting to Emmanuel Sanders talking to Nikki Javala of The Athletic. He's staying. The exact quote that you were referring to went like this, quote, "I figure I have to have a laser sharp focus," he said on Saturday as youth camp. Quote, "I go back to Houston and it's a lot of chaos. I have to move my clothes, move my cars. It's a lot of unnecessary things that I'm just trying to get out of the way and focus on the season."
How many cars do you think he...
4 or 5.
Not 2, not 3, not 4,
right?
Not 5.
I mean, that's where my head would go. How many cars did you have when you were playing?
Well, I just had one for me and one for my wife.
Pretty simple.
And then I kept my first love, my 2001, my first real car that I purchased for myself was a used BMW.
Oh.
Four-door, 740.
Ooh, so, 7 Series.
Oh, yeah. So
big body.
Big body, and I love that car. Black, and it just moved great, just luxury, right? So I kept that car. And I still have it to this day.
Is that right?
Still have it. Yeah, but it's in Louisiana. Doesn't start very often. and, you know, my...
When's the last time you drove it?
When I was back home over Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you just never knew if it was going to start or not. And so next thing you know, they're borrowing my BMW. They don't realize that. Look, that's not a country car. You can't drive that thing when you're going hunting. You can't drive it down gravel roads. You can't drive it in the backwoods. So every time I would get it, something else would be messed up. Like, what happened to the light? Oh, no, that was there. That was already there. You don't remember that? You did that before. What happened to the seat? What's going on with the seat? Like, right. All these things kept breaking down. And then they would try to say, no, that was, you did that. That was there before, wasn't it? I'm like, no, it wasn't there before. So the car is as probably needs to be put under.
Was that your, and we had an awesome conversation about your first check with Chad Brown. And he was talking about what he saw teammates spend money on when he was in locker rooms. He said he saw, you know, a guy picked in the fifth round who went out and bought a Benz with the money that he had and say that they could put me in the ground, but they'll say I had a Benz before.
Hey, I like it. Hey, he got himself a Benz.
So was that your first purchase when you had NFL money in your pocket?
I bought a house.
That was number one.
Yeah, I bought a house in Indy after 4 years of renting. Got my second contract and bought a house in Indy. So that was probably my first big purchase.
And that's what we got started on it because Saquon Barkley bought his mom a house.
Yep, saw that. Good. That was
pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool. But so there goes my 740. So talks now are I will be donating the car here soon.
Oh, you're going to donate
it? Yeah, going to donate it. And just time. You know, you're paying more on insurance and the upkeep for that car. It's expensive. You go to the shop and it's... Oh.
Yeah.
So it's time to put it to rest, but it's had a good run. And actually, I had the car up here in Denver, and 1 year I wanted to get it back to Louisiana. So me and this must have been in 07-ish, and me and my four-year-old boy, my oldest at the time, still my oldest, but I decided I wanted to drive it back to Louisiana and have it there. And so I came up with the brilliant idea of making it a father-son, you know, little road trip.
Yeah, a little bonding
session. But he's 4 years old, and he said he wanted to do it, but he really didn't know what he was getting into.
Right.
So we're about an hour up the road, and I got the comment from the back, Dad, how much longer do we have? I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a long road trip. But it ended up being fun. We stopped in, I think, Oklahoma City and spent the night there, then finished the drive the next day and ended up being a good trip. But the BMW is on its last leg thanks to mostly I blame it on, you know, my sisters and my
niece
and nephews. Yeah, that's what they felt like. It was, you know, but they don't really, it's not a truck.
That's Uncle Stokes.
It's not a truck. You can't drive it in the country.
Right.
So I did have, we're talking about Emmanuel Sanders and his cars. How many was it for him? I think it's probably, I bet he shipped two cars. But for me, I always only had one car, but I still have that one. So I guess I got two.
Well, going back to your point about Emmanuel, and I said the same thing. Could care less what his motivation is.
Yep.
You know, whether it's Deshaun Hamilton lighting a fire or Cortland Sutton or end of guaranteed money or I don't care what he's thinking about. Could care less. You know, as long as it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't. You know, what's it matter to us? As long as you're focused and you're getting ready to be the best version of yourself in 2018. Because I'm looking at Emmanuel Sanders this season, much like I'm looking at Shane Ray, with an understanding that that guy's not going to be here the following year. So if you go out there and you feel like your professional life is backed up against the wall and you're in a fight or flight mentality, that means you're probably going to approach everything with a sense of urgency, have a great season for the Broncos, and go off and do something better for yourself after this. But we see the end of the road here, and so does he.
Doesn't matter. You got guys that are highly, highly motivated because they're playing for their NFL future, for their next contract. They're essentially on a one-year deal.
I mean,
and that's the way I look at Emmanuel Sanders and Shane Ray. You want guys that are playing for their future, and it might not be here. So what? This is the NFL. But you're going to get the best version of those guys this year.
He says, quote, you know, to your point, he says, I always play like that, like it's year to year. I got something to prove this year, and if I don't prove it to the Broncos, then I'll be proving it to some other team. But at the end of the day, God willing, I stay healthy. I'll be in the NFL next year as well. That's the goal. Don't worry about what team. I'm working for the Denver Broncos this year, and I'm going to do my best to try to bring a Super Bowl trophy to this city. But the interesting verbiage used by Emmanuel there, you know, to really put a cherry on top of, hey, this is year to year. If I don't prove it to the Broncos, I'll prove it to another team. Him saying, I'm working for the Denver Broncos this year. very rarely do you hear pro athletes sort of refer to themselves in that mercenary role. That, hey, I'm working for the Denver Broncos. Not like I play for the Broncos. Not like I want to be here with the Broncos. It's I work for the Broncos. Almost like I punch a clock. I'm here to do a job, and I'm going to do it well, for whether it's for the Broncos or anybody else.
That's the facts. That's just what it is. I mean, he's already been with the Steelers. Now he's with the Broncos. And who knows what's next for him? He understands his situation. He's been around for a long time. He looks at his age. He looks at his contract, his cap number. And realizes that, you know what, 2019, I'm probably not going to be here. And so him saying that, to me, I like that because he realizes his situation. He's not naive. He's not looking at this thing like, you know what, I'm guaranteed to be here in 2019. You're going to have a guy that's highly motivated to go out there and show 31 NFL teams that he can still play at a high level and that he can still produce. Don't worry about that 32 years old, that age, that number, I can still go out there and get it done. So if the Broncos have to move on from me because of the cap situation, because of the financial details, because of the numbers, then you know what? I can still go out there and play at a high level. Sign me.
We've seen other wide receivers do it. You know, first one that comes to mind is Larry Fitzgerald. Just how productive he's been in the mid-30s, you know, in his middle 30s. Has been great. Maybe Emmanuel can be that. But a lot of it is depending on Emmanuel's health. I mean, we got to remember that Emmanuel Sanders played in 12 games this past year. He played in three quarters of the season, but for just 555 yards and two touchdowns, which happened to come in the same game, I'm pretty sure, against Dallas, as I recall it. And he talked about his ankle injury to Nikki of The Athletic. He said, quote, "It was bad. There were some games I was like, what am I doing to myself? Do I even like football anymore? Because it was a battle within myself mentally and just trying to go out there and make plays, just putting it all out there on the line. It was tough," end quote. He just wasn't himself. I mean, clearly, he had shades of it. He had flashes of it. The New England Patriots game where he absolutely, you know, made Malcolm Butler look like a workout cone. But on the whole, Emmanuel wasn't really the Emmanuel that we had gotten accustomed to from, you know, 2014 on.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you're dealing with ankle issues, high ankle sprain, whatever the nature of the injury is, that's hard. It's hard to go out there and perform at a high level because of the grind. And you're not able to do the things that you want to do, but you want to be out there. So hopefully we get a healthy Emmanuel this year, and you get a 16-game Emmanuel this year. And if you do, he's going to produce. With Case Keenum and this upgraded offense, he will produce, and you'll see the more of the numbers that we've become accustomed to seeing from Emmanuel Sanders.
He spoke about the passing camp that we saw this past week.
Passing day.
Or passing day.
Yes, we're calling it a passing day here.
Passing day.
It's not a passing camp.
It was not a passing camp.
It was just
camp.
An afternoon for 2 hours.
It was a day camp.
Yes.
Drop the kids off, pick them up in the same day.
That's what we're talking about here.
We were referencing what was happening Friday. It was at Regis High School. It was Case Keenum, Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Lindsay, and Marlon Brown, former Bronco who now is on the Bears roster. But just one wide receiver, one undrafted running back. The more we talked about it out loud, you know, initially I was like, oh, great, you know, something's happening. You know, something's happening. But we wanted more. There was no tight ends there. There was no running backs that are firmly a part of the plan. Not that Philip Lindsay can't be, but firmly part of the plan.
So just two Broncos, is that right?
Correct. But in addition to Case.
Right.
So you have Philip Lindsay, Emmanuel, and then Case. But according to Nikki of The Athletic, she said that other sessions are already scheduled for next week and beyond. So it sounds like this may be a recurring happening here.
That would be a good thing. And maybe you can get some more guys there. You know, maybe Jake Button, Hireman, you say, hey, can you come in for 2 days and we can get some work in for those 2 days, DT, and maybe another running back or so, and Isaiah McKenzie or Carlos Henderson or Sutton and Deshaun, somebody like, you know, those types of guys also add to the mix here.
Right.
That would be a good thing. But look, if you're Emmanuel Sanders, you're getting good work in with Case Keenum right now. If you're Philip Lindsay, I mean, you're loving life that not a lot of guys are there, because you're getting a lot of opportunities with a guy that, you know what, if you develop a relationship with, and that guy, Case Keenum, trusts you, that will go a long way for a guy like Philip Lindsay making this football team.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Maybe an inside track or a slight advantage over a guy like D'Angelo Henderson.
Yep.
It was a late-round draft pick who we did not see there with Case Keenum. So we'll keep an eye on that, who continues to be a part of the mix. I'm sure it'll be out there somewhere on social media. But in terms of the chemistry with Case Keenum, Emmanuel said to Nikki of The Athletic, quote, "It's personality-based. One reason you can tell is because you got a guy who's walking up saying, hey, let's throw extra passes after practice. I'm a firm believer in when you put in the work, extra work, not just the work that the coaches hand you, then that's how you become successful. It's like with Peyton at Duke University. We all went out there and threw. It's like during training camp and everybody's exhausted after practice. Everybody wants to go in. Peyton is still out there throwing those extra 5 to 10 balls that the rest of the NFL is probably not doing. That's what we're doing. And that's the type of quarterback Case is. And it's going to end up paying off for us," end quote.
Yep, it will. I mean, that's how you become great. That's how you take that next step. And you're trying to do it right now if you're the Denver Broncos offense. But it's by putting in the extra work. It's by using your time and getting on the same page as your quarterback, and your quarterback being on the same page as your receivers and tight ends. Because what happens in the fourth quarter, you're down by 3, you're down by 6 or 7 or whatever it may be, and you got a 3rd down and 6, okay? And you know what? You don't have time to think about things. You got to count on your guy that you know exactly where he's going to be, and he's going to be where he's supposed to be. And you convert that 3rd down, or you convert that 4th down and 4. Because of the work that you put in, you count on that guy. Case Keenum knows exactly what Emmanuel Sanders is going to do on this play, and you convert it, and you go on to win that game. Well, it's because of all the extra work that you put in that you have that relationship. And it's even more so important for these guys because they don't have a relationship. Case Keenum in this offense doesn't have anything to build off of last year. They haven't been in these types of situations.
Not at all.
Well, this is how you become good in those situations. This is how you win football games late, is by putting in the extra time and the extra effort. And it's great that guys like Emmanuel and DT and who else was around Peyton, but they've been around Peyton, so they see what it takes to be a special, special group. It doesn't just happen. You got to put in all that extra work, and that extra work after practice, during when special teams are going on, that work, you know, this time of year, whenever you can, any reps that you can get are important.
ESPN went through and listed the 5 most important players for the Denver Broncos. And Jeff Legwold, who is ESPN representative here in Broncos country, selected his 5 players, Stoke. It was, according to Legwold, Von Miller. And this is, by the way, not in any particular order. Von Miller, Case Keenum, Demaryius Thomas, Bradley Roby, and Bradley Chubb. Is there one of those names that sticks out that you, if you were doing this list, and which you did a little bit earlier in the show, which guy are you taking off and which guy are you plugging in?
If I had to take one guy off, I'd take Bradley Roby off. And I'd put Chris Harris in there. I like Chris Harris and his importance to this team. Not only is he just a great outside corner, but, you know, in the slot. I mean, and he tells you, who else do they have? I'd like for them to have somebody to help me out in there, but they don't. So his importance often is overlooked because he's really great at doing both. And when you have a guy like that you can move inside and outside, and look, those guys are special and those guys are game changers. So I would put Chris Harris above Bradley Roby and the Portons in 2018.
One of the reasons that Legwald listed Roby, he said the Broncos traded Aqib Talib, who was named to 4 Pro Bowls in his 4 seasons in Denver, to the Rams, in part because they believe Roby is ready for his proverbial football close-up. Roby is expected to be the starter at corner alongside Chris Harris Jr. and will be tested early and often by opposing quarterbacks to see if he's ready to go from his customary 600 plays or so or per season to something closer to 1,000.
And you know what? Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that was a bad choice because he's exactly right. And look, Bradley Roby's going to be thrown out a lot because people are going to want to test him and see what he's all about and stay away from Chris Harris. So he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and they're going to need him to play big because if he's not, if he gets exposed, well, what happens? They're going to keep going after him.
What guy would you plug in and inject into this five most important Broncos if you were going to potentially take Roby out?
I already told you that. You aren't paying attention?
No.
Were you sleeping on the job?
Do you want me to tell you who it was? I was hoping you could tell our listeners again.
Oh, you want me to tell? I just told them 2 minutes ago. I think they know. It's Chris Harris.
No, no. Oh, okay.
So if I'm taking Bradley Roby out, I'm
you
putting
were
Chris Harris
within
in.
The secondary. Okay.
Yes.
Because you said
Chris
a
Harris
name
in.
Earlier in
oh,
the show.
Oh, earlier. I had a few other guys. I would have taken, I mean, I can give you my top five, but I would have taken Roby out and put Chris Harris in.
So you agreed with Jeff Legwald about Von Miller. You agreed with Jeff Legwald about Case Keenum, but you plugged in Chris Harris Jr. And who else for your top
for
five?
For my top five is Chris Harris, Garrett Bowles, left tackle. Obviously, we know how important that position is, and we're trying to take the next step as an offense. We can't have Garrett Bowles be a liability. We need him to be one of the top five most important players on this team. And Jake Butt. I think, look, it's time for us to find a tight end. He's got a lot of potential, and wouldn't that be something if he would be, you know, one of those impact players in 2018?
There's no question. And for Bowles, I didn't give that too much thought. I think we're assuming that he's going to take a step forward.
Right.
But at the same time, if you could say that you have a cornerstone, a stalwart at left tackle, what that would do for this program as a whole.
And who are your five? You had a...
Yep, we agree. We're synced up on Case Keenum, of course. We're synced up on Vaughn. I think those are equivalents on opposite side of the ball. I did agree with Bradley Chubb. With Jeff Legwald, where you did not. And not because we need Bradley Chubb to go out and be, you know, a Dwight Freeney or, you know, DeMarcus Ware, call it. But we need Bradley Chubb to be dynamic enough, not so that Bradley Chubb can have this monster rookie season, but we need Bradley Chubb to be dynamic enough so Vaughn can be the best that Vaughn can be. So, yes, it's about Bradley Chubb, but to me, it might even be 51% about Vaughn when I'm talking about Chubb.
Right.
Shaq Barrett is a good player. Bradley Chubb has potential to be a great player, and that will only ratchet up the greatness of the guy on the other side. So, he's in my five, and the other one, we're synced up on Jake Butt as well, for all the reasons that you named. And the one that I had that neither of you had is Royce Freeman. Because I'm not sure what statement you could apply about Jake Butt and the tight end room in general that you can't apply to Royce Freeman in the running back room. It's a gigantic question mark. It's an unproven guy, but it's also a prerequisite to have success. We need to be able to have some sort of semblance of a ground game.
I'm surprised you didn't have Marquette King in there. You've been a bit, I mean, you've been...
The King is here.
The King is here.
The King is here.
He can make a big impact. He does have a leg and... You're looking for an upgrade in the special teams, and you're looking for when you play field position game and his leg and what he could provide to this football team. He could be one of those players that make a big impact this year. Rocky's big game tonight.
It is a big game tonight.
You got the Giants at home. Bumgarner.
It is
again. So you're going against him again. Didn't you just lose to him a few days ago?
Twice in a week.
So you got him again. Kyle Freeland, who I believe his last outing pitched really well.
He did.
So it ought to be a good matchup.
It should.
It ought to be a good matchup, and hopefully they can get this thing, keep this thing going. 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, big game tonight. You got a big stretch. You can't fall any further behind. So,
totally agree. Arenado is playing terrific. Ian Desmond has been better.
He has.
I mean, I don't know if folks realize this, but Ian Desmond has crept up. He is the 5th leading home run hitter in the entire National League. He hit 8 home runs this past month. He's got 17 on the season. Now, we can talk about his percentage and his on-base percentage. It ain't great. But we're seeing him starting to play with a little bit more power.
Right.
And in fact, I mean, don't look now, but the Rockies have, when it comes to home run hitters, 3 of the top 10 in the National League between Arenado, Story, and Desmond. So, I know that unto itself isn't enough reason to be encouraged or optimistic, but as a lineup, it is starting to look, and they even commented on it, I think Spilly did on the broadcast, like, this is starting to look a little bit fun again. So hopefully they keep it rolling, to
your
point.
Yep, Tapia was back in the lineup.
He was, banging his elbows, sniffing his bat.
Yeah, I didn't see all that, but I was stuck in the airport for 6 hours. But I saw he was back in the lineup, so I like that. I liked Tapia last year, and so hopefully he can provide a little bit of a different type of player that they don't have. You know, he's got the speed, lefty, and so I like what he brings to the table, and hopefully he can just be another piece to keep this thing going, because they got a tough stretch. They got a tough stretch. They need to find a way to get these W's.
And it starts tonight?
Starts tonight. Freeland, Bumgarner. Should be good.
I'll give you one. It's a 5-3 final, Rockies. They win 4 out of the last 5.
I go, you got 5-3. I go 3-1. Another 3-1 victory for the Rockies.
Okay, I think it was back-to-back 3-1 victories against the Dodgers.
Yep, let's make
congrats,
it 3 out of 4.
Hall of Famer, Brandon Stokely.
We're just going to call this like the Hall of Fame show. You also are a Hall of Famer.
Soon to be. My old high school called. They're putting me in.
They're putting you in, too. What can we call this show? Just the Hall of Famers?
Just
what other show has 2 Hall of Famers?
You know what we call the show? Hall of Famer Fireside Chats from noon to 3. D-Mac's been banging on the table to get inducted into his college Hall of Fame for a long time. It might take a donation.
Well, then let me tell you, he's not getting in, man. Can donate those shorts he wears every single day.
The jorts,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. Those Arizona State.
They're confused. They don't know if they're a pair of pants or
right.
shorts.
I mean, those things are down to his ankles almost. Like, goodness. Let's get a new pair, D-Mac.
There's never an off season for talking Broncos or ripping the wardrobe of a colleague. The Drive's coming up next.